Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is the epistle lesson for today from Revelations, which you have in the back of your bulletins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text speaks about a new Jerusalem, the new heavens, the holy and perfect place for man to dwell, and to dwell with his Lord and with his God. So just for a moment, think. What is it, as you think of heaven, what would that be? What would you imagine heaven to be like? What would be the ideal, perfect place to live? What would it look like? What things would you wish for or think that would be necessary to be in heaven in order for it to be a perfectly and enjoyable experience? Now, certainly, we would think it would need to be a beautiful place, and all of our needs would be fulfilled. But then as we look through scriptures, and in a sense from man's point of view, we really don't talk about what will be in heaven. What we see from scripture is what will not be there. We speak about what will be absent from heaven. And the things that are absent from heaven are evil. They're war, death, sin, jealousy. Absent from heaven will be there will be no power struggles there. There'll be no bullies there. There'll be no gossiping in heaven. And all the other things that make our life difficult and miserable here on this earth, those things will all be absent from heaven. Instead, what will be there is holiness and perfection. And God then tells us that we have a mission to go and make disciples of all nations, of all tribes and peoples, so that everyone, these people all over the world, can join us and be part of that new Jerusalem, that new heaven. So God wants us to teach his word to our children, to our neighbors, teach our word to live our faith in the presence of them, to show our faith in our day-to-day life, so that all of God's people around this world can recognize the goodness and the mercy that God has for his people, that together we can all be welcomed and blessed by God to enter into that new Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem that John here describes as sort of floating down out of heaven, coming down from God. And it's prepared, it says, as a bride for the bridegroom. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Jesus Christ has paid the dowry for us. He has ransomed us, purchased us as his bride by forgiving our sins. He's washed us clean with his blood. And so now he welcomes us as his holy church into heaven, welcomes us into that new Jerusalem where we will live with God forevermore. Now, as John tells us, the first Jerusalem has passed away. The first Jerusalem was destroyed. It was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, and John is writing Revelations after Jerusalem has been destroyed. And even now today, even though the city of Jerusalem has been rebuilt on the ancient site to a certain extent and is a fairly large city today, it still lacks the splendor and the glory and the grandeur of the Jerusalem that Jesus knew and when he was there when his time was living on this earth. That old Jerusalem was destroyed. It was destroyed because the people rejected God. As Jesus told his disciples on the way to Jerusalem that last time, he wept over Jerusalem. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets." You know, how often, heaven, I wanted to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers its chicks under its wings, but you would not. The people of Jerusalem would not. They would not listen. God sent them his prophets, many prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, many others, prophets that he sent to them to bring them the word of God, to call the people to repentance. but they would not listen. They killed them. Then John sends John the Baptist to them. And John the Baptist comes and preaches repentance and calls them to repent and turn to God in faith. But even he was killed by King Herod. Then Jesus comes, and Jesus continues the calling of people to repentance and faith. He performs miracles. He heals the sick. He gives sight to the blind. Even raises a couple from the dead. And yet, they would not listen to Jesus either. But instead, those in places of power, the people of power, fearing their loss of power, fearing their own loss of prestige, if Jesus would be allowed to continue and to grow by the people following him, they decided to kill him also and crucified him on the cross. They persistently refused to repent. And so Jesus says, when he returns in judgment, he will not only destroy the old Jerusalem, which is already gone, but he will also now destroy the earth and everything on the earth. And then God will create a new heavens and a new earth. And he will bring his new Jerusalem down out of the heavens to the new earth. The new Jerusalem will be filled with all the saints that have gone before us into heaven. And all of us who remain on this earth will be caught up with them into the air to meet the Lord in heaven, to be caught up and brought into that new Jerusalem so that we can be part of that new Jerusalem, the new church of God, where we will live with our God forevermore, and God will dwell with us. God will live with us. He will be our God, and we will be his people. We will be a joyful, faithful bride of God. We will give God the honor and the love and the obedience that God desires and deserves, because God has redeemed us. He has rescued us from the slime pits of sin. He has rescued us from the entrapments of Satan. And with his rescue of us, God and Jesus Christ then says he wipes all tears from our eyes. And in the place of tears, God fills us with happiness. He fills our hearts with joy and peace. He says, in heaven, there's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. The old order of things is gone. The new way of life has come. The new, the heavenly life, the life where we live in peace and joy with the presence of God forevermore. Here in this earth, we have death. And because of death, we find ourselves mourning. We find ourselves weeping when we suffer the loss of a loved one. Here we suffer despair. Here we suffer many anxious days and anxious nights. As we look around us and see the troubles and trials of life, we suffer the pains of sorrow, the pains of sickness, the pain of heartaches at sin, at our own sin, but also at the sin of others around us. We see jealousy and envy, all that evil that's inflicted upon us in this world. But in the New Jerusalem, all of that will be gone. That will be non-existent. And we will live with God in that holy city. We will live there because our robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so we need to rejoice today and prepare our hearts to meet the Lord. Repent of our sins. Repent of our jealousy and envy. Repent of our evil. And in their place, put on the love of Jesus Christ, the love that enables us to reach out to one another with the Word of God and a word of repentance and forgiveness one to another, that enables us to reach out even though the people that we reach out seem to reject us time and time again and seem to have no time for faith, no time for the love of God. God wants us to continue to reach out to them with his word so that the Holy Spirit might work through that word to bring them to faith, so that they can become part of that new Jerusalem, that city of gold and peace where God will make everything new and will rid it of all evil and sin. And then as John was seeing that revelation there, after seeing it, God in our text tells him, write this down. Write this down, what you have seen, John. Write it down quickly. Write it down right now so that picture of heaven, the greatness that is there, that John could write it down so that when you and I read it, we can also then begin to experience the greatness and the joy that God gave to John as he showed him that vision there in Revelations. And then as Jesus goes on, he says, "It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." That's what will be in the New Jerusalem. The ones that are in that New Jerusalem and on that new earth, they're with the Lord. You and I are with him because we have drank the waters of life that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. We've received the gift of life by washing our robes in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we are the ones that God invites to come and live with him in heaven, along with his whole church, the invisible church of all believers, all those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They will be with God in heaven. But then we need to add the next verse, which is not part of our lesson for today. The next verse goes on and says, But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. That's God's verdict. That's God's judgment. The unbelievers, the liars, the idolaters, the sexually immoral, the sinners of every stripe and caste, all of those will be cast into the lake of fire. They will not be part of the New Jerusalem, but instead, they will be in the fires of hell. Fires of hell because they would not believe. They would not acknowledge their sin. They would not, in their jealousy and in their envy and their "I want to do it myself" attitude, they would not accept God's love and God's forgiveness. And so as a result, they did not drink of the waters of life or wash their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they die that second death. The second death is eternal death. Total separation from God with no chance of reconciliation to God any longer. That's God's judgment. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Being a nice guy, no matter how nice you and I might be, is not good enough. It places us in the fires of hell. Being very sincere, practicing a religion or faith that you might have, but a false faith, but practicing it very, very diligently, still leaves you outside the kingdom of heaven because you did not put your trust in Christ. God sets the rules. And that's why God calls on us to preach the gospel. He wants us to share the word of God with one another. That's why we gather here each Sunday. We gather so that we might hear God's word, but we also gather. Your very presence is here to encourage the people next to you, people in front of you and behind you. Your presence is here to encourage them to remain faithful. And we encourage one another by our presence. And then if we see those who are absent from us, we are to reach out to them and remind them that they need to come and worship the Lord. Not because we want the pews all to be full, but because we want them to be faithful. Faithful unto death so that they might receive from God the crown of life. And so it's our task to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to worship the Lord and put our trust in him so that we might drink the waters of life, so that we can be part of that New Jerusalem and welcome our Lord and Savior and live with him forevermore. And so turn to the Lord, live in the Lord, and so live in the joy of his salvation each and every day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Our service will continue as we gather our offerings.